Hear News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, Bongino, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, historic tax relief. Last week, Montana Governor Greg Gianforte, we just delivered Montanans the largest tax cut in state history. And then I saw Travis Hall shared that via Twitter and made the point that Montana taxpayers at every income level will get a tax cut with this, the largest tax cut in state history. That news also getting some big attention from the Wall Street Journal's editorial board over the weekend. And it also featured prominently in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet this morning. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal, great to have you on the show once again.
Good morning. And that certainly makes the week start out well. Well, you know, tax cuts can't be beat.
Yeah, I also didn't realize the tax simplification that was delivered with this as well. But before we get into that piece of the bracket mania, kind of like what's going on with March Madness right now, maybe you hit some of the high points from this tax relief that was delivered.
Well, yes, it's almost every category of taxes that impact most of us, the state has $2.5 billion surplus, and this is how they are spending that, I guess you would say. And so every Montanan is going to get $500 if they own property on their residential home. They're going to get a $500 rebate in 2023 and again in 2024. And also income taxpayers are going to get rebates of up to $1,250. And then also the income tax rate has been dropped from 6.75% to 5.9%. And during the last session, they decreased the income tax rate from 6.9%. So it's moved down a whole percentage point over the past two legislative sessions. And then also they have simplified and modernized, I don't know what you would quite call it, but the for businesses, the capital gains system tax, it's now going to be the fourth lowest in the nation. And they've also paid off the state's debts and have contributed $100 million to rebuilding roads and bridges in the state. And it goes on from there with other refinements of the tax code and how we pay taxes. But overall, it's a huge, huge step forward in lowering our taxes. And all of this generates greater possibilities for economic growth from, you know, not just the businesses, but, you know, people having more income to spend and to invest. All of that helps our economy grow. And and there was one other piece of the legislation that wasn't mentioned, but they've also reduced the cap or increase, I guess you'd say, on the personal property tax, or taxes that Montana businesses have to pay on the equipment and furnishings, whatever they need to produce. Montana is maybe the only state that taxes business equipment, and it has gradually been dropping, but they dropped it another huge segment this past.
I think they've upped the exemption on the business equipment tax up to $1 million worth of equipment. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize. I always love telling this story when I'm at like a banquet at a hotel or something, and you get to talking about taxes, and I say, yeah, these hotels are even taxed on the forks and the knives that they have for silverware for their banquets. That's how absurd this business equipment tax is. But at least they've raised that exemption to $1 million because businesses get taxed on that equipment, whether they're using the equipment or not, and whether the equipment is being used to make money for the business or not. They're not being taxed on how profitable their business is. They're just being taxed on the fact that the equipment is sitting in the yard.
Right. And a new business comes in and spends $100 million on business equipment, and within the next year, here's the state charging them all over for that business equipment. And, I mean, it's just ludicrous. I mean, why would you come to Montana and start a business that's going to do that to you? And we're talking millions of dollars in taxation on equipment that, you know, you've already purchased, and yet you have to continue to basically buy it from the state. You know, it is just really ridiculous.
Yeah, I remember talking with loggers in Libby during Libby logger days, and they'd tell you, yeah, you know, here you have the federal government, you know, under the Clinton administration in particular, that they basically would shut down your timber project, so you can't get access to the trees to make money. But your equipment's sitting out there not being used, and you're being taxed on it by the state. It's just like a double slap in the face. What was interesting, too, the Wall Street Journal in their editorial board, we'll talk about the bracket mania here after the break, but they make this point here in this Wall Street Journal editorial over the weekend that now, thanks to this historic tax relief, that basically thousands of families earning less than $41,000 a year will now pay a lower 4.7% rate. That was enacted on a delay in the governor's first tax cut as well. There's also some interesting historical info here as well. Montana enacted our income tax back in 1933 with four brackets, which became 10 by 1971.
Hey. This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
This Tuesday, March 21st, the Montana Stock Growers Association will launch its first of a series of rollover auctions at livestock markets across the state to raise funds for its appeal of the Bureau of Land Management's decision regarding the American Prairie Reserve's grazing allotments in Phillips County. Lewistown rancher and Montana Stock Growers board member Todd Olson is donating the 875-pound heifer that is sired by the Great Bull Justify. The replacement heifer will sell in the rollover auction starting at noon at Lewistown Livestock this Tuesday. Todd Olson said that the importance of these funds will be used to prevent a precedent from being set by the Bureau of Land Management's grazing decision in Phillips County.
It's going to be bigger than just north central Montana. This is going to end up being a western United States issue, and we want people to help us get this done right the first time so that precedent is in the ranchers' favor. Anybody that's passionate about the protection of stewardship of Montana lands, heritage, and legacy, please consider supporting these auctions.
Again, the rollover auction to benefit the lawsuit against the Bureau of Land Management will be held this Tuesday, March 21st at noon at Lewistown Livestock Auction. You can also bid online at lewistownlivestock.com. Or if you would just like to make a donation to the Montana Stock Growers Association's legal fight, you can visit mtbeef.org or protectopenspaces.com. I'm Wayne Nordflund.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, Evelyn also has a very interesting story, a very big story in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet about a rare earth mine potential right here in Montana. Rare earth, you know, rare earth minerals are those minerals that they need, especially for things like electric vehicles. But remember, these radical environmentalists, don't like mining. And so the same people that want to force all these Green New Deal policies on you and want to force these electric vehicles on the country also don't like the mining that supports those types of vehicles. But anyway, this is very interesting. A Nevada mining company claims to have discovered the highest quality deposit of rare earth elements in the nation at the far south end of the Bitterroot National Forest in Montana. So we'll talk about that here in just a second. First, though, yeah, Evelyn, you and I were kind of talking about this during the break. Yeah, apparently back in 1933, so 90 years ago, Montana enacted the income tax in the state with only four brackets. Those brackets got expanded to 10 by 1971. But as the Wall Street Journal points out now, thankfully, Governor Greg Gianforte and the Republican supermajority in the legislature have now done a little bracket mania, a little bracket busting of their own, kind of like the NCAA basketball tournament. And so now they've simplified the tax code here in Montana as well. Let me see here. The state's tax code will now collapse to two brackets from seven. So we have now busted down from seven brackets down to two brackets. So I think that's another big part of this tax relief story that hasn't really gotten as much attention yet.
Yeah, I think that. Well, if you really look at the coverage this has gotten, I mean, it's interesting that nationally we're getting this attention, but, you know, it's not been very well, it should have great big headlines across Montana newspapers, you would think.
You would think.
You don't see that at all.
Yeah.
And I think it might have something to do with the fact that the Republicans are largely responsible for this. I think almost every Democrat has opposed these tax cuts, and I don't comprehend how they think that's a winning position to have, because no matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, you don't like taxes. So I don't encounter many people who like paying taxes, and I think everyone's going to be happy about this, but. And you know, another aspect of this is how much do we have to have the evidence of lowering taxes increases revenues for the state and as well as for business? I mean, this has been done. I mean, last session, Montana has done really well with it because of the tax cuts and conservative spending. The state imposed then, and it's under Trump. Trump did the same thing, and suddenly, you know, the tax revenues explode once you reduce the rates. And
yeah.
It's a thing that has been demonstrated, and it doesn't matter how many times it's been demonstrated, the left constantly opposes it, and it just doesn't make sense why they oppose it if they're interested in actually increasing revenue.
Yeah, and this is where so many in the media have just consistently got it wrong. It's been one of their biggest – I mean, since I was a kid, I remember reading Rush Limbaugh's book when I was in junior high school. And, you know, I grew up in the Reagan 80s and then in the 90s. And yeah, we saw it with our own eyes. Okay, you allow people to keep more of their own money. They're going to do a better job managing it than the government will do. It helps the economy. It helps people. Helps the business sector. And you get more revenue at the end of the day. And that happened while Bullock was the governor, the Democrat governor of Montana. He came out against the Trump tax cuts. He said, if the Trump tax cuts go through, we're going to have a hit to our revenues in Montana. And then a few months after the Trump tax cuts went into effect, you had Republican Lou Jones, one of the more moderate Republicans out of Conrad, Montana, point out that we were getting a Trump bump in revenues. And then Gianforte in the Republican legislature comes in and cuts state taxes, and we get more revenue. We're probably going to be at a $3.2 billion surplus at the end of it. And yet, how many of these people in the so-called media continue to attack Republican tax cuts plans and then downplay the success of them?
Yeah, and one of the things I think is funny is they have, when they do have an article, it's like they're signing blame. You know, it's GOP tax cuts, and I'm going, wow, isn't that great for the Republicans? I mean, they couldn't get advertising. You know, you couldn't afford to pay for advertising like that because that's who they're just saying, hey, this is the Republicans bringing this to you. And they really don't get it.
Yeah, they've scoffed at tax relief efforts year after year after year. It's one of the worst biases of so many in the liberal media. But then again, I went to journalism school too, so I know math has never been a strong suit, let alone economics for most of the journalists. Stand by, Evelyn. We'll come back to you in 60 seconds.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. One last witness is expected to testify today for the Manhattan grand jury investigating former President Trump's pre-election hush money payment to former adult movie star Stormy Daniels.
Michael Cohen serves as a witness for the DA's office, and his one-time legal advisor, Bob Costello, was called on by Trump's legal team. According to the New York Times, Costello would testify with the goal of undermining Cohen's credibility.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff. Trump accuses District Attorney Alvin Bragg of election interference. After two fatal shootings, there's another Thursday to Sunday spring break curfew in Miami Beach, Florida. It started last night.
The city has imposed a curfew yet again for South Beach, third year in a row. And last night, people were jumping on cars, parked in the street. Police cleared out Ocean Drive and the South Beach Entertainment District. No one's allowed outside now from midnight to 6 a.m.
Fox's Phil Keating. Stocks start the day flat, up a bit on Wall Street. America's listening to Fox News.
All right. Well, very cool. I always get great information out of Evelyn Pyburn, and she's always a good source of leads and other tips as well. But during one of the breaks, I was chatting with Evelyn, and she said, hey, have you talked with Tim Stark? He's a home builder that's doing these 3D printed homes. And I said, oh, I know Tim. I said, I should get him on the radio show. That would be great. I think KTVQ Television did a story about the 3D printed homes over the weekend. And so Evelyn had a great idea. Yeah, you should get him on the radio. So I sent him a text a few minutes ago. He's going to be with us tomorrow at this exact same time. So, Evelyn, thanks for the tip there. Always appreciated. Evelyn, you've got a big story here, a potential rare earth mine opportunity in Montana. That's big news if you ask me.
Yes, and it really is because, you know, you were talking about the necessity of these rare earth metals for batteries, and the biggest problem is the U.S. doesn't have many of them, and we depend on China to a great deal to get them. But apparently, the miners are looking for them in the United States, and they found some in Montana in the southwest area of at the end of the Bitterroot Mountains, and the area is being called Sheep Creek, and it looks like it's the biggest source of rare earth minerals in the United States and of incredibly high quality mine as far as it doesn't have some of the negatives that other rare earth mines have. And let me read you this quote. The president of U.S. Critical Materials, I think that's the Nevada company that owns it, but he says, the combination of high-grade rare earths, low thorium and carbonates, 125 feet below surface, is a geological phenomenon that does not exist in other reported U.S. deposits. Over the course of my career independently evaluating rare earth properties within the U.S., I have never encountered a property with the grades being generated by Sheep Creek. So it's apparently a really big find, and who knows?
Yeah, you talk about the wealth that would bring in, actual wealth coming from the ground, supporting high wage jobs, and a bunch of that would be big news for the state of Montana. And then, of course, we know that the radical environmental groups who love their electric vehicles would be the first in line to try to shut down a very type of operation like this that would bring about the resources you would need for all of their Green New Deal technology. Evelyn Pyburn, always a pleasure, always a source of great information. Thanks for being with us here. And yeah, if you aren't signed up for the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet, there you go. That's just two of the stories. She's got another story about the growth of Belgrade, Montana. Last year, the city issued 154 residential and commercial building permits. 154 permits last year. The Montana State Legislature now back in session following the transmittal break, plus big issues at the national level. A war zone on our southern border. Time to declare these drug cartels as terrorist organizations. That's just some of the topics we cover right here with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. We can take your phone calls, you can send us your messages, and then you get to be heard all across Montana. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10, right here.
Now.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we may get a phone call here. We'll see. I shot a message to Billings Police Chief Rich St. John. He said he will be able to join us on the radio at some point here this morning, so he was just kind of wondering for which time in particular. So I said, hey, you can call in right now if you want, or we can get to you in the 8 o'clock hour. Your call, Chief. Give us a ring, 294-0970. Yeah, because right now our plan is just to have the phone lines open pretty much for the rest of the morning until 10 a.m. when Dan Bongino takes over the airwaves. The only guest that we've got actually booked on our calendar for today is a great guest. Very much looking forward to chatting with this gentleman. It's probably been 8 or 10 years since I first met him. Lieutenant Colonel Ivan Raiklin. I saw him on Tucker Carlson Today. Where did I last see him? He was testifying. It might have been at a school board hearing or something like that. Anyway, he's been out there leading from the front, speaking out against some of the craziness going on in America today. And so it's going to look forward to catching up with him. He's a Green Beret. He's a retired Special Forces commander. I believe he was a battalion commander before he retired. But anyway, looking forward to catching up with him. I met him at a commander's conference several years ago. And we finally locked in the time to get a chance to catch up with him. He'll be joining us around 8:40. Or no, I'm sorry. Yeah, 8:40 this morning. It's only 7:40 now. Sometimes when you're doing a talk radio show that lasts for 4 hours, you lose a little bit of track of time because you're too busy enjoying all the phone calls and the conversations, and then you got a lot of big news to cover as well. A couple of stories that I put on our Montana Talks website last night. For those of you that missed the 6 o'clock hour of the show, it's been a bad couple of weeks for Liberal Senator John Tester. And yet the Montana media is absolutely silent, just like they don't want to cover the historic tax relief delivered by Governor Gianforte and the Republicans. They don't want to cover the scandals facing Liberal Senator John Tester. So I put together a compilation that's on our Montana Talks website right now. Also, the other big news over the weekend, this was big news that developed over the weekend. A Billings police officer is continuing to receive treatment at a local hospital after being shot by a suspect on Saturday morning. This is now the second Montana police officer in 2 weeks to have been shot in the line of duty. A Great Falls police officer was shot in the chest and arm back on March 7th. And, of course, all this news comes on the heels of the attack against a Montana Highway Patrol trooper, against Trooper Lewis Johnson, who was run over last month by a suspect in northwest Montana. United States Senator Steve Daine sent out the following statement in the wake of the news over the weekend, saying, quote, Cindy and I are sending our prayers to the Billings police officer who was shot today protecting the community. I'm closely monitoring the ongoing situation. This is the second shooting of a Montana police officer in less than 2 weeks, a tragic reminder of the sacrifice and selflessness of our Montana law enforcement officers who wake up every day and put their lives on the line to defend our local communities. We must back the blue. That was the message there from United States Senator Steve Daines. If you go to MontanaTalks.com, you can also see the latest update on the Great Falls police officer who was shot earlier this month as well. We do now have Billings Police Chief Rich St. John with us on the phone line. So to the other folks that are calling in right now, I can see our phone lines lighting up. Stand by. We'll get to you here in just a few minutes. But first, Police Chief Rich Rich St. John, Billings Police Chief. Thanks for calling in this morning. And first off, Godspeed to you and to your officer.
Thank you, Aaron. I appreciate the kind words and certainly the kind words of the senator. That means an awful lot.
Well, I know what golf 14-hour standoff on Saturday, so I know it was a long weekend for your officers. But then again, every weekend seems to be a long weekend anymore.
Yeah, it certainly is, and I don't know what took place that caused Montana to really go off the rails. Not only did we have our situation here, you had hostage situation and bank robberies and officer-involved shootings on the western part of the state as well.
That's right. Mineral County, we've got a story on our Montana Talks website about that, an officer-involved shooting in Mineral County, northwestern Montana. And then I mentioned what happened to Trooper Lewis Johnson last week, and then a Great Falls police officer. Yeah, it's people may think they're escaping to Montana, but in parts of the state, we're not escaping the crime, that's for sure.
Yeah, certainly. And, and what I would say to your listeners here in Billings is that, there's a very, very small population that's causing the problems in general. We still live in a wonderful, wonderful, safe community. Police department's working really hard at stuff. Although you wouldn't know it from looking at the headlines, when we look at our 2022 numbers, which I'm about ready to roll out here in a week or so, we were able to decrease or flatten our violent crime numbers and property crime last year. So the additional resources and the strategies we have in place have been effective. Unfortunately, we have these acute situations that can continually to pop up and dominate the news.
Yeah, and this standoff over the weekend, first and foremost, how is your police officer doing? I don't know if you've publicly identified the officer yet, but either way, I know folks are praying and thinking for the officer and their family. But what can you tell us about the condition of the officer?
Yeah, the outpouring support has just been amazing. Very appreciated for that. He is in stable condition, doing well, on the way to recovery. We're not releasing the name quite yet. We still have family that's coming in and needs to be notified and briefed. So along with that, obviously, we have other officers that were involved that we need to name as well. So probably no later than Wednesday. But at the end of the day, officer is recovering. And appreciates all the support.
Well, that's the main thing we wanted to know and wanted to hear. And, the rest of the information will come out in due time. And you're right, take care of the family first and take care of the officer first. That's the priority of work here.
Yep, absolutely. And that's what has been in place. I can't speak enough for the professionalism of all the officers. We had two other counties aside from Yellowstone helping us. The work that was done there to help resolve that as peacefully as possible is just amazing. The medical staff, just across the board, I couldn't be prouder to be associated with all these organizations.
Yeah, I think it was Gallatin County and then also Lewis and Clark County SWAT were requested and responded to assist with this 14-hour standoff as well. How would you describe the standoff, how it started, and the length of the back and forth that needed to take place here to try to get the most peaceful resolve to the standoff?
It actually started about 1 in the morning on Saturday where we had similar menacing behavior. Officers went there, could not make contact. Neighbors agreed to basically go elsewhere for the night, assuming that things would settle down. They returned at 7 a.m., and we still had that type of behavior, which got the police there again. We attempted to make contact with her for about 2 hours before they requested SWAT and negotiators. So once SWAT shows up, negotiators get in place. The attempt was to deliver what we call a throw phone. It's basically a portable phone, telephone that we can deliver and establish direct contact with. And once the officers were forced the door open to throw the phone in there, she was standing there and fired one shot to hit her officer. So that started the standoff that didn't end until about 10 p.m. the following night. massive effort to resolve it peacefully. There was multiple efforts at negotiations. We brought family members in. We brought acquaintances, our loudspeaker stuff. Just a significant effort by all agencies there. The technology that was brought to bear, we had drones in the air, armored capabilities, all sorts of things to try to resolve this. Fortunately, at the end of the day, we were able to. Just took a long time. So, again, a lot to sort through, and I know that's just a real brief overview. A lot of work to do.
I'll tell you what, that's a testament that shows just how much these men and women of the police department, how the efforts they will take to preserve human life, even after their own lives have been threatened and one of their own has been hit. That's a testament to how much they still value human life there, even in the midst of a tense situation like that. Chief St. John, thanks for the update. Thanks for the phone call. Greatly appreciated.
Thanks, Aaron. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. And when you have those latest crime statistics ready to roll, hey, open invite. If you want to come back, join us in studio or over the phone again. We'd love to catch up with you in a little bit more depth. All right, Chief, thanks for the call. Quick break here on Montana Talks. We got Vince in Billings on the phone lines. Phone lines are open for you. Back after this.
Fox News commentary.
House Republicans have introduced a parents' bill of rights, and shocker, Democrats aren't on board. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
New from the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Dana Perino, co-host of The Five and co-anchor of America's Newsroom. Join me for season 3 of my limited time podcast, Everything Will Be Okay. I'll chat with guests who have had major career or life pivots and people who have persevered and are leaving a trail of inspiration for all of us to follow. Of course, we'll have some laughs along the way. Make sure you subscribe to this series wherever you download podcasts. I'm Dana Perino, and everything will be okay.
Parents should know what their students are learning in the taxpayer-funded liberal indoctrination camps once known as public schools. This shouldn't be a partisan thing, but go figure, it is. House Republicans are leading the charge with the Parents Bill of Rights Act, which is exactly what it sounds like. Legislation aimed at allowing parents to know and examine classroom curricula and voice their concerns without being labeled domestic terrorists for doing so. What a concept, I know. But you won't be shocked to hear that every single Democrat voted against this bill in committee. But bad move, donkey. Because this could very well be the issue that sways independents and brings new voters into the GOP fold. You know, protecting children shouldn't be a partisan issue, but if Democrats want to opt out, we will gladly make it a conservative issue and a winning issue. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With mostly sunny conditions across the region today, high temperatures will range from the mid-30s in the Bozeman region to about 42 in Billings. Headed into tonight with clear to partly cloudy skies, so lows from 10 in Bozeman to near 20 in Billings. The outlook into the weekend does call for more quiet weather, plenty of sunshine both Saturday and Sunday. High temperatures on Saturday ranging from the upper 30s to around 40 into the Bozeman area to upper 40s to around 50 in Billings. Saturday night's conditions, clear to partly cloudy, mid-teens in Bozeman, upper 20s in Billings. And then we finish out the weekend with more sunshine and high temperatures from the mid-40s in Bozeman to about 53 in Billings. With partly cloudy skies Sunday night, temperatures will drop back off into the lower to middle 20s. And that's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. This is Weatherology Meteorology.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios. Trusted by the Northwest. Montana owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so this story, I was looking at this story out of Northwest Montana that was published Saturday as well. The Mineral County's sheriff's office ended up urging all residents to stay inside and lock their doors due to the fact that there was a suspected armed robbery in St. Regis, Montana, in Northwest Montana, of course. And on their Facebook page, the Mineral County Sheriff's Office confirmed that shots had been fired. Apparently, It all started in Idaho at a gas station in Osborne, Idaho, is apparently where this suspect had first started their little apparent spree. So anyway, that's the details that our friends from KGVO News out of Missoula shared on our Montana Talks website. Well, earlier this morning, I was sharing some of the news that the rest of the Montana media is ignoring, all of these scandalous news stories involving Liberal Senator John Tester. Looks like we got a caller on the phone lines who wants to weigh in and jump in on the conversation. Vince in Billings, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Well, good morning, Aaron. Well, your ad over the weekend about Tester and Montana Talks, and read it, and every time that came on, I saw the news article on TV where he was talking about supporting the abortion pill, and I think of my 11-year-old granddaughter being able to get a hold of a pill, thinking that this is I can get this pill if I don't take care of myself, and it just no doctor supervision. These kids will get a hold of this thing. They just do. We were kids. We know how it goes. And the more, every time I heard your ad, I got mad at him this weekend. And everybody should. He doesn't do anything that has the morals of Montana people. He just doesn't, and it just aggravates me.
So yeah,
I unload it.
Yeah, if John Tester sends out a press release, the copy and paste liberal Montana media will run with the copy and paste press release from John Tester. But here we've had scandal after scandal. You know, he's bashing millionaires, but he's a millionaire. He's spent over $1 million on fancy Washington D.C. restaurants. He was hosting he was doing a fundraiser in Silicon Valley with the same Silicon Valley mobsters that were responsible for the second largest bank failure in history 3 days after they got bailed out by Joe Biden. For Pete's sake, that's not news to these liberal hacks in the Montana media?
It just is appalling that this guy keeps doing this and gets away with it. Montana people, we got to find somebody that will run. I mean, that we got to find somebody with some moral values anymore that, you know, thinks lying is lying, and it's not right. That's where I'm at with this guy.
Well, and those chemical abortion pills that you were talking about, you're right. Those things are dangerous. Let's put aside whether a listener right now is pro-choice or pro-life, whether you support abortion or you're against abortion, whether you set the limit here, whether you set the limit there. What they don't tell you about these things is these things are dangerous. Even if you support abortion being allowed, this type of stuff should not be done without a doctor's supervision, if you think it should even be done at all, right? One in five women who take chemical abortion drugs have complications. They can face severe bleeding, life-threatening infections, and the inability to have future successful pregnancies. So this is very dangerous, and they want to just put these things in vending machines on college campuses and send them in the mail to little girls, and with no doctor being involved in the process whatsoever.
My thought goes to my granddaughter. She gets a hold of this pill, and then all of a sudden she's bleeding, and we don't know what's going on, and we don't know why. The doctors don't know why. I mean, we're going to lose kids over this thing. We're going to. It's a fact if they don't shut this down.
It's just one other piece of the insanity that the left is pushing, and John Tester is right in on all of it every step of the way. Thanks for the call, Vince. Thanks for holding on. Great to hear from you. You know, here's the deal. When it comes to different medications, different pills, you have got to know what the implications are going to be. You have got to know, well, how does this interact with that? That's why for me, I don't know if you're somebody who's struggling with pain, you know, if you've got back pain or knee pain or pain in your joints, hey, you know, if you can, it's always best to avoid surgery. It's always best to avoid the medications if you can. Let me tell you about an exciting new option that's now available on the ground in Montana. I'm talking about QC Kinetics. They specialize in regenerative medicine, where they take the healing properties that are in your body and then place those healing properties directly into your achy joints. Call QC Kinetics now, 406-201-6263, QC Kinetics 201-6263.